What's up? Happy Thursday, guys. This is the Bills Wire Daily Podcast, proudly presented to you by USA Today Sports Media Group. I'm your host, Jeremy Uhas. As always, thanks for tuning into this Thursday game day episode with me. Thank you so much for listening wherever you are on your ride to or from the office or with the family on a road trip or at home, wherever you guys are. I appreciate you guys doing that. Again, you can subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. You can listen to us on Spotify, Stitcher. We are all over the web in terms of our show, so make sure you, wherever you want to listen to your podcast, you find us. You know, today we're obviously going to be tuned in later to tonight's contest between the Bears and Bills from Chicago, but we'll also today dive into a little Khalil Mack talk. I have the pleasure of joining me here in a moment, Kyle Szilagyi. Kyle was the former managing editor before Nick Wotan recently took over, so wanted to bring Kyle on because he wrote a great piece titled "By Acquiring Khalil Mack, the Bills Would Right a Four-Year-Old Wrong." He wrote that column on Bills Wire. Make sure you go and check it out. It's a great read, a really thorough analysis of how the Bills can maybe, as he said, right their wrong from 4 years ago when they took Sammy Watkins in the draft. I know that is hindsight, but it would be an interesting story, obviously, with the former UB Bull coming home if the Bills were so inclined and had the gumption to go ahead and pull off a trade like that if indeed Mack becomes available via trade. It is a topic that we've talked about on this podcast a couple of times already, but really want to dig in a little bit further because it is really kind of fun to talk about. And as you'll kind of imagine, I believe Kyle and I will kind of lay out the reason the Bills should aggressively try to pursue this. And so without further ado, I want to bring in former managing editor of Bills Wire and now contributor to the site, Kyle Szilagyi. I appreciate you, man, coming back on. It's great to have you back in the fold and writing again. I know you took some time off, so just want to say thanks again for making a little time to come on with me and discuss this Khalil Mack situation.
Good to be back on the podcast. You're daily now, so that's a big change since I've left. Congratulations on that.
It's a big lift, but we like it. You know, it's just adding, you know, 15-20 minute episode each day to kind of recap what's going on and preview what's to come. So, yeah, appreciate it. How have you been doing in your retirement?
Retirement's been good. I've gone on two vacations since retiring. I went to Orlando, then I went to Germany for 2 weeks earlier this month. So,
can you get any more drastically different?
No, they are completely different. But actually, I did go to Disney in Orlando, and there's a Germany section in Epcot.
Correct.
So those
you can drink around the world?
Yep.
Yes.
Couldn't do that, but I turned 21 in Germany, so turning 21 in Germany didn't do me any good because drinking age is 16 there, but hey, it was fun. Had a very good time, but ready to get back to football and talking football.
Yeah, we miss you over at The Wire. You did a lot of great things while you were taking over as managing editor, and wish you all the best. And we're glad you're still contributing, as you did with this latest column that you wrote about Khalil Mack. It's been a topic we've talked about on this podcast several times since the idea has cropped up, but you laid out a really good case for it, for the Bills being interested and why they should be interested. Just where did this idea spark from? Why did you feel so compelled to write this, first off?
Well, it's not very often that you hear players of Khalil Mack's caliber being brought up in trade rumors, and it's even less frequently that those players have ties to Buffalo. And as everyone knows, Khalil Mack went to school at UB. That's not something you ever hear when you're talking about one of the best players in the NFL, but Buffalo alumni, and he's one of the best, and it would just be surreal for him to come to Buffalo. So I was just sitting around yesterday, and I was just like, this has been talked about so often in the past few weeks, and for the sake of my sanity at this point, I need it to happen, or I just need him to be moved. There's been so much, where there's smoke, there's fire, and there's been a lot of smoke here. So I just decided, hey, I feel like writing. I haven't written an article in a while, so I asked Nick Wotan, hey, could I write a column on how the Bills need to acquire Mac for the sake of my sanity? And he said, yeah, go for it. So,
well, I'm glad you wrote it because I think it's like the sake for a lot of Bills fans' sanity. Just the ideas got people salivating over him being on the defense. As you said in your article, they could plug him right in no matter if he plays his a linebacker position or defensive end. He's going to upgrade the defense. And he kind of laid out according to the Bills' salary cap next year. Should be north of $70 million in the offseason. So even signing him to a long-term deal, if they were to acquire him via trade, shouldn't be prohibitive for the team if they so inclined to nab him from Oakland.
Oh, yeah. And that's one of the best things that I think Bean has done as general manager, is right now the cap situation is not ideal. I think they have, what, $40 million in dead cap space?
Sure, yeah, they still have that going on. Yep.
The most in the league by double, I think. But after this season, we'll have the Bills will have the most cap space in the NFL. And that is so nice to have when you have a young quarterback, young middle linebacker. You have your two anchors right there still on their rookie deals. And at the end of this season, they don't have Mac right now, so I'll assume they don't have Mac. But they'll just have to re-sign Kelvin Benjamin, and I don't think that he's going to get a huge contract. It'll be decent money, but it's not going to be Odell Beckham numbers. So they're going to have money to play around with next season, and with the young core, the Bills are going to be an attractive destination.
For sure. I think that's was part of Bean's plan. You know, he had the big contract of Marcel in there, getting rid of other guys that they would have had to pay. The basis for your article was about, you know, the Bills maybe righting a wrong in hindsight, drafting Sammy Watkins instead of Khalil Mack. Can you kind of elaborate a little bit more on that and why you think, you know, Mack, like looking back, was obviously a wrong decision now, but, you know, you also said at the time you can't really blame or fault the Bills entirely for it because of who they had on the roster.
Yeah, I wrote in the article, like, at the time, selecting Mack would have been a nice story just because, you know, not a Buffalo kid, but for all intents and purposes, a Buffalo kid.
He's embraced the city.
Right.
He said that even, you know, as much like this is his town. So
yep, ate it almost twice a week.
Yep.
More Buffalo than a lot of Buffalo people. But it would have been a nice story, but it wouldn't have made much sense given the Bills' front seven. He played linebacker at UB, but a lot of people knew this is an edge rusher. He's going to be a defensive end probably once he reaches his potential. And he played a little linebacker in Oakland, but now he's a defensive end and he's one of the best in the league. And then at the time, the Bills had Mario Williams and they had Jerry Hughes, who was at peak Jerry Hughes, and Mario was at, you know, he was peak Mario. And on the offensive side of the ball, they didn't have anything around EJ. They had C.J. Spiller and Fred Jackson, who, even at that time, Fred was getting old. Stevie Johnson was, you knew what you were getting with Stevie, a solid receiver, but he wasn't a game changer. Then they had Robert Woods, who was entering his sophomore year. So they needed somebody to catch the ball, because if they really wanted E.J. to succeed, and with that receiving core, no quarterback was going to succeed. So they went out there and they got Sammy. They traded up to get Sammy Watkins. And at the time, I liked the move, just like I feel a lot of Buffalo fans liked the move at that time. Even though they had to give up that future first for him, we thought it was going to be worth it because, hey, that's your quarterback and number one wide receiver for the next 10 years. But with hindsight being 2020, that wasn't the case, and they probably should have taken the local kid.
Yep. And you make a point, you know, throughout his four-year career, Mac has recorded over 300 tackles, over 40 and a half sacks. Let's talk about the compensation, because I think that's a lot of the debate between Bills fans who want to acquire someone like Mac and other Bills fans who just maybe don't want to give up the assets necessary to acquire him. And I like the argument that you laid out here. You're getting a proven commodity over future, and I think for me, I know this is probably how you feel too, just given what I've read in the column, you want these proven guys instead of always just going after future. I feel like the Bills do have a young enough team and young enough roster to build around, and Mac only being 4 years in the league is in his prime, so you're not bringing in, you know, someone after the age of 30, 32, still in his, and should be in his prime. So I like that idea of just bringing somebody in to supplement the young guys on the roster, and instead of just, you know, giving up future draft picks. We've seen Bean too also be able to acquire draft picks in other ways, so he can, I think, probably reacquire draft picks that he loses if he has to give up, you know, mid-round picks in addition to maybe a first or something for this deal to go through. I just like the way you laid it out there, and it boggles my mind that fans don't want to give away any more future stuff for a proven player like this.
Yeah, they'd be getting someone who would grow with the team. I mean, Tremaine Edmonds is only 20 years old. That's 10 years there. Khalil's not going to play for the next 10 years, probably, but he'll play for the next 5. That's 5 years of Khalil Mack and Tremaine Edmonds. Or 6 or 7. You've got... It's really unique in that he is so young, and he's so dominant. And yeah, they could hold on to their first-round pick. I mean, as I say in the article, you know, all these early mock drafts have the Bills picking 2nd or 3rd, getting Ed Oliver, or defensive tackle, or Nick Bosa. But even if they hold on to their picks, I mean, Nick Bosa or Ed Oliver aren't proven. You really don't know what you're going to get there. I mean, Rob Quinn, the old managing editor of Bills Wire, he's now at Cover One. He brought this up in an article, but he's like, the last time the Bills took a defensive end of the first round, it was Shaq Lawson. And Shaq Lawson's good, but he's not Khalil Mack. And then to go back to 09, I think it was 09, I blocked it out of my memory, but the Bills thought they had the next great pass rusher in Aaron Maben. Nope. So draft picks are just that. They're picks you use on players that you hope will turn out good, but they might not. So I agree that you should hold on to them if you can, but if you have the opportunity to just use them on a player who you know is going to be good, or at least has a better shot at being good than the player that you'd take if you hold on to your pick and you try to develop your own player along, then I'd say go for the proven guy.
I think the trajectory right now for the way the roster is aging is perfect to acquire him at this point. Just my opinion, because you're going to have, like we just talked about, some of the younger guys, but Bean and McDermott for the last 2 years have stockpiled on picks, brought in undrafted free agents that have pushed for roster spots. They are ready to win. I don't think this team, while they're still always going to be trying to improve the roster and rebuild certain aspects of it, to completely say that the Bills are, you know, starting from square one, I don't think they are. They just drafted their franchise quarterback. They still have a proven, you know, running back, and they have a lot of money to spend next year in free agency that we talked about as well. Adding him at this time just makes a lot of sense in the timeline to me as well.
Yeah, it's just, and then Tre'Davious White's another young piece.
Yep.
Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer are both still younger. Tremaine Edmonds, Harrison Phillips. This is a very good young defense. And it's not like Khalil Mack he wouldn't be a rental. He would be somebody who would develop along with this defense. And 5 years from now, you'd see the same faces around, and they'd still be a dominant defense. And this is another thing that I just want to bring up quickly with potentially dealing the 2019 first. This defense is very good. So add Khalil Mack to that, that's, I think, at least 3 or 4 more wins that your defense is going to get you. If the offense can be even, you know, competent, score 21 points, I think I think this defense can limit teams to fewer points than that. So
yeah, the other thing I like too is he plays that backer position, mm-hmm. and we talk about this always too with McDermott and being loving versatility with guys. Well, Mack fits that perfectly. He can play multiple positions, and you have Lorenzo Alexander at the strong side, who's aging, not sure how many more years he has left. You already have a couple of injuries this offseason with depth linebackers. So, I don't know. Like, I've been wanting to talk about Khalil Mack a little bit more on the podcast. I'm glad you wrote this article because it just kind of fleshes out what I've been thinking too. And you did a very good job of doing that. And I don't know if you agree too, but just with Lorenzo's state, just like you said, this making this defense that much more dominant, because we know in the NFL, a lot of the games come down to the fourth quarter and getting that last stop, or just keeping your offense in the game so that they can kick the game-winning kick. You're right. He could lead to 2, 3, 4 more wins, you know, and have an impact that great on the roster and on the record.
Yeah, and like, that's another great point you bring up with the versatility, is he's played strong side linebacker. So if they don't want, I mean, McDermott loves to rotate the defensive line, but you've already got Trent Murphy, Jerry Hughes, Shaq Lawson at defensive end, and they like Eddie Yarborough too. So if you don't want to mess up that rotation, throw him at strong side linebacker, and then that's Matt Milano, Tremaine Edmonds, Khalil Mack. Your linebacker core goes from a mediocre one to one of the most athletic and arguably one of the best in the league, assuming Milano and Edmonds live up to their potential. And then that's your linebacking core for 5 years at least, six or seven.
Yeah, and if you want to limit Lorenzo's snaps, he can kind of maybe take over on first and second down as a run guy, and then you bring Khalil in on those pass rushing downs and kind of move him all over the place, or, yeah, put his hand in the dirt. Like, it just offers Leslie Frazier so many options that it's just so juicy to think about what could be if he was on the team. I wanted to ask you too, from the Raiders side, Kyle, like, what are they thinking? Because I think about this, and we brought this up right at the beginning of our conversation, of these guys don't become available that often, and not saying that they are shopping him, but he seems pretty entrenched on not re-signing there with the current offer, whatever is going on, that standoff with negotiations or getting an extension. But like, why are the Raiders treating this player this way? Like, can you explain it, or you have any ideas why?
I have no idea. I mean, you'd think you have a player of that quality, you'd do anything possible to keep him around. But, I mean, this has been an ongoing thing at this point. It's been Mack and Aaron Donald trying to get extensions for 2 years now. And at this point with Khalil Mack, I mean, I know if I was in that situation, I would be like, I don't want to re-sign with you either. You've been ignoring me for 2 years. I'm going to be a UFA. I will wait, and then I'll just go sign where I want to sign next year. Or just trade me, or give me my money. So I don't know if the Raiders are just being stubborn, but they're certainly not following that just win motto.
Yeah, and NFL Network, Good Morning Football talked about this too, this topic, and I feel like a lot of shows are and outlets are kind of covering this story. But it is noteworthy, Kyle, that not many players skip regular season games. So it will be really surprising if he doesn't, at least, because he does have a contract, he just wants a new one, or an extension. It would really surprise me if maybe he sits out the first week, but if he's not, receiving an extension before week three, week four, and he's still sitting at home, that would be kind of unprecedented for someone of his caliber.
Oh, it would be, and I think the value, I think the Raiders, what they could get for him in return would start to go down, because I think teams would just start thinking, well, they are just paying him to sit on the couch. I think they'd rather get something for him than just let him sit there and then lose him for nothing at the end of the year. So maybe that's a play that the Bills should take here, or maybe that's their plan, just see where it goes.
Wait it out. Yeah, I was going to say that too. I think the further this goes on, the better it is for teams trying to acquire him. Mm-hmm. Because you're right, the value is going to have to diminish with, less games. The team trying to acquire him will be like, well, look, he's not coming in until, partway through the season. He's got to catch up to our scheme. Like, we're not just going to give you what you want now. I think the value definitely goes down. So don't know. It's just interesting to monitor, and we'll definitely be tuned into it just because of his connection with UB. And as we talked about, Kyle, just the fit on this defense would be outstanding if they could acquire him. But great article. I appreciated reading it. I know a lot of people online did too. It got a lot of reads and a lot of shares. So thanks for doing that. We hope you continue to write some columns in the future as the regular season approaches, man.
Thank you. I definitely will.
All right. Well, good luck with your future endeavors, and we will also keep in touch and have you on again during the season once, like I said, the regular season is underway.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.